Governor, you've been a fixture at legislative sessions, what, since 83?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Over, now be the fourth decade, 25 years, 27 years, 28. And you're a master of it, people believe. And you know great command of the legislative culture. But right now, hasn't that culture completely turned upside down on you with the recent election?
Well, certainly from a, if it's purely a partisan analysis, it's turned completely different. I don't yet subscribe to the idea that Little Rock or that Arkansas or specifically that the General Assembly is going to succumb to the partisan trap that we see in Washington. You know, throughout that 28 years or whatever it's been, we've seen divisions, whether it's urban and rural or north and south or east and west or demographically change differences that cause those rifts. If we see it on a partisan basis, I'll be disappointed. I think the people will punish anybody that does it on either side of the equation. Arkansans don't like that overt partisanship. We see it evidenced all the time. They don't like what goes on in Washington. And they decry just lining up based upon party. And if the General Assembly did that, I think they would be punished, or those people who are identified as doing that would be punished by the voters. And I think most of those folks are smart enough to know that. That doesn't mean there won't be differences. That doesn't mean there won't be ideological alignments that reflect party and reflect what they ran on. But the overt rank partisanship for the sake of it, I don't believe.
By that you mean voting strictly according to your party to obstruct the other party?
Correct.
You don't,
I don't think
the people would stand for it, and you do not expect it to happen?
Correct. I don't.
Now, is that, you've been having some gatherings, or you did over the holidays, in which you had opportunity to meet a lot of these newcomers, 44% of which are Republican.
Correct.
You got a take on them?
They're not monolithic. They're not one voice in one group. They're like everybody else. They're like the Democrats. You have some that are more moderate, some that are more conservative. You have some that are interested in education issues, and some are just interested in lower taxes. So, I mean, they're not, you can't paint them all with the same brush. They're just like anybody else that gets elected to the General Assembly. They're a composite of people with different likes and dislikes and priorities that that won't cause them to look as though they are just one group or one person.
So you're describing the possibility of a legislative session that would not be notably different from others.
Yeah, I'm describing one that that's not as dire in terms of a political divide as a lot of the people who are watching all this, writing about it, talking about it, fear. I could be wrong. I'm the eternal optimist. Only time will tell.
Let's move to some issues then that are likely to arise in this new culture, which may or may not be fundamentally different that we're getting ready to encounter.
Right.
If I know these Republicans, there are two or three things they're going to do, and one thing I'm fairly certain they're going to do is attempt to do what I think Missouri and Virginia have done, some other states, and that is pass a state law, seek to enact a bill that says an individual cannot be mandated to go buy health insurance in this state. Simply seek to defy, differentiate from, or even defy the federal health care mandate.
Right.
Do you expect that to come? What do you think about it? If you had to, might you veto such a thing?
Do I expect it? Yes. What does it mean? It depends. If all this litigation running through the various federal courts result in that end, in other words, a court declaring unconstitutional the federal mandate that people have to buy health insurance, then it doesn't mean anything. It's a legislative pronouncement of what would be handled judicially, ultimately by the Supreme Court, because you've got different rulings right now from the various federal district courts. What I worry about is if that doesn't happen, if it's not thrown out by the federal judiciary, and we pass something like that, what's that going to cost our taxpayers? Because inevitably, you're going to get a lawsuit. Inevitably, there are going to be damages. Inevitably, there are going to be repercussions from that. So if anybody does that, they need to be prepared to understand what the potential cost to the taxpayer might be. I think it's all premature right now to know how that
works. We wait for a Supreme Court ruling. Stands to reason the legislative session will occur before
sure.
the Supreme Court rules.
Sure.
You expect such a bill to be introduced?
Yes.
Very possibly passed in this culture.
It's possible.
And you were saying, well, that you need to understand the damages, the effect of what
if
you're
doing.
If
you're asking me
but
what,
are you going to get out there and say, please don't send me this? Because I think this is a bad idea considering the timing and the potential exposure to the state?
I very well may say that.
Why would you not?
I suspect I probably would say it. What I will not tell you as we speak is anything that would cause people to be less than responsible and think I'm going to take care of everything.
I see. The old maxim that you don't give away your hand or you don't give them a free shot to do something politically
precisely.
Expedient.
Precisely.
Because the governor's going to veto it anyway.
Precisely.
You're not saying that.
Precisely.
Your counsel will be...
My counsel is...
This is troubling. Be careful.
My counsel is, this is troubling. Be careful. And if it's going to cost us some money, you people that are doing this need to be prepared to acknowledge that and to take responsibility for the consequences.
The other thing I know about Republicans is true. It's that we're going to have quite a bit of discussion in the coming weeks about cutting assorted taxes.
Yes.
I think that's a big thing.
I do too.
Let's start with your tax cut.
Yes.
Two things. Is it absolute, is it your opinion, is it your view, your position, that that's absolutely all we can afford, period, end of story? And two, no, let's answer that first.
Okay. It's the only thing of any substance or size that we can afford. If you're asking me, is there $1 million here or $2 million there that we could scrape up or find, I'm not gonna be naive enough to say no, that there's not a couple $1 million somewhere. However, all the tax cuts people are talking about that I've heard are unsustainable under our current projected revenue without significant cuts to major programs. And the only significant tax cut, and if you want to call it significant, it's only about $22, $23, $24 million, only about 15 out of regular GR without the other educational excellence or adequacy funds being counted, is the half cent on groceries that I've proposed. That's the only significant tax cut that I think we can afford without busting this budget. And when I proposed it, we built a budget around that proposal. It wasn't just proposed in a vacuum. It was proposed in conjunction with an entire budget.
I know. But you and I have had sort of this discussion before, and I think I hear you saying, look, this budget is based on revenue projections that are reasonable, counting my grocery tax, and we can't go any lower than what
I said. That's correct.
You're basically saying mine is it. I mean, you all can't find anything else in here that I haven't found.
That's right.
You believe that to be the case?
I believe that to be the case.
Before we dispense with the grocery tax, I think you may have answered this before, but I want to make sure. Another half cent would bring it down to...
1.5.
And you got 2 or 3 more years after that. We going to get it gone by the time you're gone?
It is my desire to get it all gone except that 1/8 that we can't get gone without... that was put on by the Initiated Act.
15's not a great deal of money, you said.
$15 million from GR.
Right. And you're not going to say you couldn't find $1 million here or $1 million there, maybe.
Right.
Let me forgive this hypothetical, but you don't have to take it. Obviously, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to answer any of this. Let's say Gilbert Baker, who is a big advocate, he says from a populist point of view, which is a lot of this Republican tax cutting is from a sort of a populist, not just pro-business, but populist. His working man out there in Arkansas is just getting hurt on this used car tax. Goes and buys a pickup, and
sure.
the tax cuts kicks in at some level he believes is too low.
Sure.
And I believe what he mentioned was raising the threshold for its application to
sure.
$6,000.
Sure.
And I believe he said that cost $10 million.
Sure.
Are you saying to him and to others, we just can't do it?
You could do the $10 million, but figure out and be honest enough at the front end, instead of, you know, I've heard him say, well, we'll take care of that revenue stabilization. You can't take care of that revenue stabilization. You can take care of overspending in revenue stabilization. You can't take care of over tax cutting in revenue stabilization. That's a totally different animal. So if you're going to do that, tell the folks where you're taking the $10 million. And if it's from UCA or U of A, if it's closing a prison, if it's taking folks out of nursing homes or cutting back on the payments to nursing homes, you're not going to touch K through 12. I mean, he knows that. So with over half of the total GR going to K through 12, that limits where you can take the money from to only half of state government that's funded by GR. Have the courage to tell the folks where you're going to take it from then. And if you don't do that, I'm going to ask you to do that. In fact, I'm already asking you to do that. That's my caveat to everybody. You know, this isn't a
But you've also said, this is, okay, go ahead.
It's not a dictatorship. And one of the things I think that's held me in reasonably good stead with my time as governor was the experience I had in the Senate. And the view that I know that persists in the legislature about a governor trying to do things without consulting or cooperating with or including the General Assembly. And those governors that try to be dictators or try just to take off and run off and leave the train find that the train will run over. And one of the things I've tried to do is to include folks. Now, that doesn't mean I back up from the responsibility of trying to lead them where I think they need to be led. I think that's a governor's responsibility. And I've been accused of being too much of a heavy hand or too guiding too much, I think, from time to time. But it's not, it is my intention to always try to include the legislature on the front end. Sometimes it doesn't work. And so what I will encourage them to do as we go through this is be responsible. Yeah. Don't just expect that you can go vote for something and let somebody else worry about where those cuts come from. Let's talk about them simultaneously.
Let me paraphrase what I hear you saying and see if you can, you may need to correct me on this. Listen, folks, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm going to take my grocery tax off there if I possibly can. That comes first. This budget, I got it low as it can go and not hurt somebody.
You said it exactly right. I wish I'd have said it that clearly.
Now, you got another idea to take some money out of it? Tell me where.
Right.
Right. And you don't think there is anywhere?
There always is. You can cut another $100 million out of there, but you're going to hurt somebody, and you better tell somebody where it's coming from.
It was just coincidence.
Are we going to close HDCs? Are we going to? There's these constituency groups out there. I've seen this. These folks that are talking this stuff, they just got to get ready for this, because we have cut it, as you said, as low as I know how to cut it without hurting people. What you're going
to
see.
So further tax cuts would mean you'd have to start apportioning some pain to people.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't the first place that you would go, because you can't touch the schools, and obviously Medicaid is something that's difficult to cut, institutions of higher education?
Absolutely.
And that's the first place?
That's usually who gets hurt the first, the worst. And all that does is either cause them to jack up tuition even more or cut programs.
Okay. But and none of this is to say you disagree that that used car tax can be onerous on the working man out there.
No. I remember when all of that was passed. I remember when the cost was shifted from used cars, the cost was shifted from new cars to used cars with that revenue neutral thing years and years ago where, well, we're going to lower the amount you have to pay to just the difference, but we'll make up for it because we'll charge on used cars above a certain limit or a certain amount. Yeah, and it is populist. What I would tell anybody that was listening was, nobody's cut more taxes than I have. Now, the legislature actually cut them, but nobody's proposed, pushed, and garnered more support for more tax cuts in the history of Arkansas than I have over the course of the last 4 years. So I've got a pretty strong credibility rating for cutting taxes, actually cutting taxes. But they've been targeted, they've been measured, and they've been responsible. And they were aimed, frankly, for the most part, and there are some exceptions to this, but they've been aimed, for the most part, at helping the folks who were the disproportionately hardest hit by taxes.
Okay, what I understand is, this may or may not bear out, but most of the projections of how this flow, how this legislative session will flow, would be that any tax cut bills that you might find worrisome might likely pass House of Representatives, go to the Senate where there's a Revenue and Tax Committee, which would hold them until toward the end of the session to do some sort of seamless thing in which you consider the cuts at the same time you have pretty much dealt with your revenue stabilization. Is that, if we're going to have tax cuts considered, is that the way you think we ought to go? You don't want them early in the session.
Well, I certainly don't want them early in the session. I don't necessarily think that's the way it ought to go. I read where you had interviewed Gilbert Baker,
right.
and that was his scenario.
Right. Uh-huh.
Which is certainly one scenario that has some sense to it. The reason I don't just support that scenario is I would like the House to also exercise the kind of restraint responsibility that Gilbert's suggesting the Senate will exercise. I don't think it's always just the responsibility of the Senate to be the heavy or the bad guy or the responsible party. And I look forward, we got some bright young House members in this new bunch, some bright young Republican House members as well as bright young Democratic House members. You don't get a red shirt year with term limits. I mean, you just don't. They need to know as freshmen that their vote means something and that their rhetoric means something and that their conduct means something.
So you're not going to give them a free pass?
Absolutely not.
Giving nobody a free pass.
I don't think anybody deserves a free pass. I think they ran and they got elected, and with that comes a responsibility to be responsible.